in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 28, Dhyana Yoga, text number 37. Yam Namah Sibir Ghayam Pancha Varnam Abhadhitam Vyarthin Api Arthavadho Yam Bhayam Pandita Maninam Yanama Pritivir Yanama Pritivir Rayam Panchavanam Pritam. Yet, which nama by names akritibhi and forms grayam perceivable panchavarnam consisting of the five material elements abhaditam undeniable yartena in vain api indeed artavada the imaginative interpretation ayam this dvayam duality pandita maninam of so-called scholars. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The duality of the five material elements is perceived only in terms of names and forms. Those who say this duality is real are pseudo-scholars, vainly proposing fanciful theories without basis in fact. Purport material names and forms, subject as they are to creation and annihilation, have no permanent existence, and so do not constitute essential fundamental principles of reality. The material world consists of variegated transformations of the potency of God. Although God is real and His potency is real, the particular forms and names that temporarily or circumstantially appear have no ultimate reality. Gross ignorance occurs when the conditioned soul imagines himself to be material or a mixture of matter and spirit. Some philosophers argue that the eternal soul in contact with matter is permanently transformed, and that the false ego represents a new and permanent reality of the soul. Srila Jiva Goswami replies that spirit is the living superior energy of the Lord, whereas matter is the inferior, unconscious energy of the Lord, and that these two energies thus possess opposite qualities, as with light and darkness. I'll read that again. Srila Jiva Goswami replies that spirit is the living, superior energy of the Lord, whereas matter is inferior, unconscious energy of the Lord, and that these two energies thus possess opposite qualities, as with light and darkness. The superior living entity and inferior matter therefore cannot possibly merge into a common existence, since they eternally possess opposite and incompatible characteristics. The hallucination of a mixture of matter and spirit is called illusion. It becomes specifically manifest in false ego, which identifies with a specific material body or mind created by illusion. Clearly, those scientists or philosophers who are embedded in gross ignorance cannot be real scientists and philosophers. The simple criterion of spiritual self-awareness unfortunately eliminates a huge percentage of modern so-called scientists and philosophers who bury their foolish noses in the Lord's material energy without any knowledge of or interest in the Lord Himself. Om Jnani Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakayam Chakshurmukhena Tasmai Shri Gurvena Mukham Kodvachalam Kongulam Haitegrim Yat Vipataraham Mande Shri Gurum Dintaranam Vanchakapa Tirvishya Kripa Sandhu Devishya Patitanam Bhavani Vaishnavi Yogam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaurava Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The first point made in this purport is that material names and forms, subject as they are to criterion or to creation and annihilation, have no permanent existence. And so do not constitute essential fundamental principles of reality. So the nature of this material world, the elements of this world, are temporary, rather eternal, but they're temporary forms. But the nature of the soul is that it's eternal, and this is who we actually are. But throughout the world, people are thinking that they are this material energy, which is an illusion. It's a complete illusion. We're actually the soul within. So that which people are thinking they are, they are not at all. But unfortunately, people have very, very little understanding of who they are as spirit soul. Very, very few people, even amongst religions throughout the world, there's very little understanding that they are actually completely different from the material body, that they are the soul within. So it's unfortunate that there's so little understanding of reality. And what is even more unfortunate is that so-called leaders of society, philosophers, as I said here, scientists, they poke their noses in the Lord's material energy without any knowledge of or interest in the Lord Himself. You think there was one big atheist, and someone asked him, so what will you say? You say there's no God, what will you say if at the time of death you go and you actually see God? What will you say? He said, I'll say to him, God, why have you made it so difficult for us to see you? Impossible to see you. This guy is like his criticism that if there's a God, then why is he making himself so unavailable? Why have you tried so hard to hide yourself? You know, this the actual statement. So I would think that God would say to him, why have you ignored me? So much I made myself available. I wasn't hiding, I was there. So many different religions, so many books. Why are you ignoring me? So this is one of the big problems throughout the world, is people are ignoring God. And therefore there's this word ignorance. Comes from this. Ignore. Who wants to ignore God? Then this is ignorance. They're under this particular mode of nature. Excuse me, I have a little throat problem. So this river of Maya, everybody is being thrown around in this vast river of illusion. Sometimes the waves will come in and push one up, and someone can become a prime minister of a country. Another wave comes up and makes someone else a very wealthy man, a very popular person. And then another wave comes and slaps him down, and he becomes a dog. In Sweden, actually, there's one astrologer said that the one former prime minister of India had become a dog in Sweden. So these waves are coming and putting one in one situation and come knocking down, you put in another situation. So this is the nature, according to our karma, we're going up, we're going down. But if one goes to the bank of this river, Prabhupada says in one purport, there's two banks of this river, knowledge and renunciation. If one could somehow swim to the bank of this river and get knowledge of Krishna and renounce the foolishness, the illusions of this world, then one can possibly get out of this river of illusion. But some of you may have noticed that sometimes in rivers, especially on the bank, sometimes it's very strong current. I was just at this retreat in New Zealand, very nice retreat there. And there's a river right there going around the retreat. And it's like that. I noticed that towards the edge of some of the river, it's very strong. So if you get close to the bank, very difficult. It's a strong current. So if we want to get to the bank of this river and escape, get out of this river of illusion, then we have to get knowledge of Krishna. And to renounce the illusions of this world. But to do that, we have to be very strong. The river is strong. The current is strong. So if you want to get out of this river, you have to be strong yourself. It's like there's people rowing of boats, they actually, they're so strong they can go against the current. They're so strong, you know, they got the power, they're just super strong, just solid muscle. Very strong, they actually go against the current. So now we've been going with this current of illusion for so long, now we're trying to get out. So you have to be very strong to get out of this current, this very strong current of illusion. Krishna says, Daivi Hesa, Gunamai, Mama Maya, Mama Vyavati, Maya Matantrapati. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three most material natures, is very difficult to overcome. Radhana Swami was speaking about this, and he was thinking that was a little bit of an understatement. It should be very, very, very difficult to overcome. Because that's what it is. It's very, very, very difficult to overcome. But Krishna says, if one surrenders to me, then you can come. You can escape this very vast river of evolution. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to teach us this Vairagya, Vidya, Nijabhakti Yoga, Sarvamega, Purusham Purana, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sri Kripam Buddha Yasu, Aham Bhupati. He came to teach us renunciation. That there's nothing in this world that will satisfy us. Nothing. You could have billions of dollars, mansions, have whatever you want, but you won't be satisfied. Just like it's stated in this verse, there's matter and there's spirit. They're incompatible. Just like you try to put oil and water together, incompatible. So matter and spirit are incompatible. No amount of matter will satisfy the soul. Only one thing will satisfy us. Savayam Sangharo Dharma Yato Bhakti Rokhi Hayat Kya Bhakti Yata Vyapa Supasit Srimad Bhagavatam. It said that the supreme occupation to be for all mankind is that by which one can engage in loving devotional service. And such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to fully satisfy self. Nothing else will satisfy the soul. This pure loving service. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants love. Anybody would say, no one would say, no, I don't want love. Can you imagine something? No, I don't want love. No, everybody wants love. But what they're thinking is love in this world. So, it's lust. And therefore people are frustrated. Atmandriya priti vachadari palikam. Krishnandriya priti chadari premanam. Love means to desire to serve God. This is love. And the desire to satisfy the senses. This is lust. So you can't fully satisfy the senses. Can't fully satisfy Krishna. We can try to. Krishna is known as Aparama. Self-satisfied. Completely satisfied. But we as part and parcel of Krishna are meant to try to satisfy. And then we're satisfied. Just like this finger on my body. It has a spontaneous attraction to fulfilling whatever I want, whatever my body wants. If I get a scratch, immediately it just goes and scratches. I want to eat, and immediately just go. You don't have to preach to it or anything. It's natural. Naturally, the finger just does whatever it wants. It cooperates. It's a good cooperator. But if it gets disease, it's problem. You have to get some big sore on it, there's pus and everything. So you got to put a band-aid on it. You got to put all kinds of ointments and antibiotics. And then I got to be very careful because they can mash on something, it hurts. So if it gets diseased, then it's a disturbance in my body because I have to be very careful, right? Otherwise, it causes more problems. So now we're diseased because we don't have love for Krishna. We have this. We're contaminated by this disease of lust. Prabhupada said our old enemy, Mr. Lust. So therefore we're a little bit of a disturbance. So Krishna comes and he tries to help us out of this disease condition. And he leads us to Bhagavad Gita. He leads us to Srimad Bhagavatam. He comes to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and leads us the holy name, Krishna. So Krishna comes in so many ways to try to help us become healthy again. And when we're healthy, which means pure, then we're satisfied. As long as we're not pure, we're not going to be happy, we're not going to be satisfied. So this whole process is a process of becoming purified of material contamination. The problem is that Maya is very expert. They can make things appear very, very attractive. Very expert. There's an example given of one man. He was walking through a forest. And as he was walking through this forest, he fell into one well, dry well. He fell a few meters, and then he caught onto this to a root that was going from one side of this well to the other. And he was thinking, whew, good thing this root is here. So he's hanging on this root. And then he looks down and he finds that there's deadly snakes on the bottom of this dry well. And then they say, wow, really good thing I got this root here now. So then he's thinking, oh, how are we going to get out of here? And then a couple minutes later, he hears a tiger, a big roar coming from above. And this big tiger is roaring at him. So he says, whew, man, this is too much. So then he's hanging there and he's thinking, man, what's going on here? And then a couple minutes later, he starts hearing some chewing. Just some chewing. And then he looks up and there's one rat chewing on one of the roots. And he says, no, no, this is not good. And then he hears some more chewing, and there's another rat chewing on the other side of the root. And he's thinking, this is really not good. So these snakes on the bottom are compared to all the miseries of material existence. So many miseries. Miseries coming from other living beings. Miseries coming from nature. Miseries coming from our own mind and body. So he's hanging in this very inauspicious situation. But then, as he's hanging there, he feels a drop in his head. And then a few seconds later, he feels another drop. He looks up, and there's a honeycomb in a tree. And the honey just is dropping on his head. And he looks up, and he says, look at that. And he puts his tongue out. And he's getting this honey. And he's thinking, life isn't so bad after all. So this is Maya. So much suffering going on in the material world. But if you get these little drops of, little push of mind, you get a little bit of drops of pleasure, it's not so bad after all. They think like this, it's some suffering. Yeah, it's part of life. It's part of life. But actually, it's not part of real life. In real life, there's real life, spiritual life, where there is no suffering. And that's there in this unmotivated, uninterrupted desire to serve God. This is the happiness. This is real love. There's so many wonderful examples of devotees that had this, experienced this real love. There's one servant of Krishna, Dharu. He was fanning Krishna. And he was experiencing so much ecstasy from fanning Krishna. So much love he had for Krishna that his body was quivering. And his hairs were standing on end. And tears were flowing from his eyes. It was just so much ecstasy. But he was thinking, why is this disturbing my service? I don't want this. It's disturbing my service. I don't want this ecstasy. He just wanted to please Krishna. Imagine that level, you know. I mean, we all imagine if we had that feeling, that ecstasy. You know, like, pretty much we'd like to feel that, right? We want to enjoy it. But when someone actually develops love for Krishna, they don't even want to have these ecstasies. They just want to serve Krishna. And Radharani, when she was looking at Krishna, she was feeling so much ecstasy, tears were flowing from her eyes, and she couldn't see Krishna properly. So she was also cursing these tears. You know, I want to see Krishna. Ashli Shiva Parvatam Panastama Madarsana Marvatam Krodhava Tatka Vavritatavam Padova Karma. That this is real love. I don't know about Krishna as my Lord. He shall remain so, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace and makes me broken hearted by not being present before me, he's completely free to do anything and everything. There's always my worshipful Lord. So this is real love. It doesn't matter what the object of my love does. I just want to serve that person. So, but to attain this is not an easy thing. Did I say something wrong? half that room is wrong. So, anyway, it's not an easy thing. Actually, the greatest challenge that one can face in life is to attain this love for Krishna, is to give up this attraction for Maya, and to develop one's love for Krishna. This is the greatest challenge that one can face. But this bhakti yoga process is very powerful. It says bhakti prasana bhava bhakti anyata chaisa ekikala prapanya manas. That devotional service, by performing devotional service, three things automatically take place. One is you become detached from the illusions of this world. You develop love for Krishna, and you develop direct perception. The Lord. These three things automatically take place as we engage in devotional service. We don't have to question, well, how is it going to happen? How are we going to be something about love for Krishna? How are we going to perceive Krishna? No, just by engaging in this devotional service, these three things automatically happen. Just like when we're eating, you get nourishment, okay? You experience pleasure, right? And eventually, you become detached. I've had enough, I'm full. Right? So this pleasure is compared to bhakti. This is the highest pleasure. Love of Krishna. And this detachment is compared to I'm full. Now I've had enough. I don't want any more. Which is how a devotee feels when he engages in devotional service and attains this love, that I don't want anything in this world. I'm not interested in anything in this world. And then direct perception is compared to nourishment. When we eat, we don't know how it's happening. We're chewing the food, but do we know how the nutrients are being processed through the body? We don't have, so many things are going on. I have no idea. Digestive system, so many things. We don't know how it's happening. Maybe there's a doctor in here that might know. But even a doctor, you know, there's so many things going on in the body. We don't know how it's happening. So similarly, we don't know how this process is working. You may be chanting for 10 years and thinking, I don't feel like I'm advancing. There are three devotees, disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They went to him and they said like this. They said, you know, we've been chanting for many years, but we feel that we're not making any progress. So we're thinking that we want to leave. But we wanted to come and speak to you first. And he said to them, you really feel that way? That you're not making any progress? They said, yes. He said, oh, this is very good. This is very good. Because when you are thinking that you're making progress, that you're an advanced devotee, then everything goes down. Interesting. Because you know, most advanced devotee, he doesn't think he's advanced at all. So he praised him. He praised him up and down. Oh, you're so fortunate. You're advanced. You don't know it. So keep this. So he preached to them like that. They never left. They stayed in the movement. So they were encouraged by that. It's like, you know, Krishnadas Kaviraj. He says that I feel myself to be lower than a worm in stool. I mean, can you imagine? And Prabhupada said he's not just speaking. You know, this is not just lip service. He feels. Very insignificant, very low. So this is a symptom of advancement, that you don't feel you're advanced. You feel I'm very fallen, or I haven't made any advancement. This is very healthy. If you think you're advanced, then that's a problem. Ironic, we want to advance. Right? That's why we're here, we want to advance in Krishna consciousness. But if you think you're advanced, then you're not advanced. If you think you're fallen, insignificant, then you're advanced. Kind of ironic, isn't it? But this is reality. Trinada piece in each hand, Trinada piece is Amanina Amanina, gift me. Once you think oneself lower than the straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respects to others without desiring respects to oneself. So this is the mood of a devotee. So you may not think that you're advancing, but each time we chant this Hare Krishna mantra, each time we come and worship a deity, we're decreasing that space in between us and Krishna. It's decreasing. Prabhupada said that for every step you take towards Krishna, then Krishna is taking 10 steps towards you. So we're some distance, so we're getting closer. You may not notice what's happening. It's like in Los Angeles, there was one boy, small young boy. So I went up to one of those teas and I said, "You know, you're a midget. You're not going to grow any higher than you are right now." So he ran over to his mother, Mommy, Vijay said I'm a midget. I'm not going to grow any higher than normal. He's just playing with you. It's okay. You're growing. So because the children, they grow so slowly, they don't notice how they're growing. Yeah? Especially little children. So he had to find out from his mother what the actual situation is here. So we may not know, we may not perceive how we're getting closer to Krishna. But each day that we perform our devotional activities, we're getting closer to Krishna. So maybe I'll stop there. Any question or comment? Yes.
I enjoyed this thing. However, right at the start, I felt a bit better when you said, and I just want some clarification of the terminology you used. Because you said the spiritual world and the material world are all over the water and they don't mix. And before you introduce that, I just recalled what she was teaching. Absolutely, everything is spiritual. Yet, due to forgetfulness, we lower ourselves into the mundane atmosphere. And I remember it being compared that the spiritual world is ever present, and the material world sits by the water within it. So, how do they not mix like oil and water? I can't quite understand the separation. So I thought, I can see what you're saying, but I can't quite see where they don't mix. I thought there was like a super above view that everything is spiritual, so there's some sort of blending.
Yes. Everything is spirit, but when things are utilized for one's sense gratification, then it becomes spiritual.
So when you say material, you're sort of saying mind.
Just like when someone is facing, when you're facing the sun, there's no darkness, right? There's no shadows, right? There's just light. But when you turn your face away from the sun, then it's just shadow, right? You don't see the light, there's just shadow. So when we turn our face from Krishna, then that's Maya. That's
it. So
that's
extremely separate.
Yeah. Well, Maya is also an energy of Krishna.
Yeah, so it's sort of a bit tricky.
Yeah, it's a little.
That's okay. I sort of understand.
Forgetfulness of Krishna. This is Maya. This is when it becomes matter. Just like a knife. A knife in the hand of a surgeon is very good. People pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for a surgeon to use a knife on them to cut them open. But if you put the same knife in the hand of a murderer, you got a problem. Same knife. So things of this world can be utilized in the service of Krishna. And that's the proper utilization of things. But as soon as we use things in the service of Maya, then
it's funny the word Maya, because it's the word Maya, isn't it? It's like, when I use things in the service of Maya instead of the service of our, you know, it's quite a funny question. Maya.
Maya.
And the word Maya.
Maya? What's Maya?
Maya.
Oh, Maya. Maya, you got that accent there. Maya, yeah. I, me, and mine.
Yeah.
Maya.
That's the
Maya, Maya.
That's really just the separation, isn't it?
That we
think it's just
more. Yeah, we're generally very selfish.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Problem.
That's the nature of the world of Maya. People are selfish. And the nature of the spiritual world, everybody is selfless.
Yeah.
Everybody is thinking of pleasing Krishna and pleasing the other devotees. No, they're not thinking of themselves. They're thinking of how to serve the devotees, how to serve Krishna. And this is the consciousness that we're trying to imbibe in Krishna consciousness, becoming selfless, serving the devotees, serving Krishna, serving the Spiritual Master. It's all about service. Okay? Anything else? Shiva Prabhupada. Jai.